This is Victory House.
All right, can we read this together? If you can see the screen, let's read the same version. Let's read it out loud. One, two, go. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all wild animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground." That's Genesis chapter 1, 26. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. This is Jesus telling his disciple about the prototype of prayer. How should prayer look like? They asked him, we see that you pray a lot. We don't know what to say. We don't know the content of prayer. So Jesus gave them a template and say, let your prayer have this format. And one of the things he said was in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's read it together. I want to go. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus was telling them, he had told them other things apart from this. You know, say our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he got to this part. He told them that they should be asking God that your kingdom should come and your will be done on earth. Because you see, in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the earth, God put somebody on that earth that was in charge of everything that he had created. And God gave that person or those people, two of them, because the Bible says he blessed them. He gave them a mandate. And so under this Thy Kingdom Come series, I will be talking this morning about the mandate that God gave us. So I will be titling this The Mandate. So God gave them a mandate, and the mandate was very simple. The Bible said God blessed them. In that verse 26 that we read. Then he went ahead, when you get to verse 28, the Bible says, and God now said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue the earth. Another translation says, dominate the earth. So God gave man a mandate. Now, you need to understand what was happening in all of this thing that was happening in Genesis chapter 1. Beyond what you probably think was happening in that Genesis chapter 1. Because you see, God is a king. In fact, the word kingdom is a compound word that has the word king and dom, which is just a short form of domain. So the word kingdom is the king's domain. And we all know that God is the king. God is the king of the earth. Because you see, many of you may not know the concept of kings and kingdoms because we've lived in democracies and republics and all of that. But you see, in a kingdom, the king is the everything. The words of the kings are not suggestions. In a kingdom, if a king should say, I want something, whatever he says is law. For example, if a king should say, you know, we read that story in the story of John the Baptist. A king was just excited and told our daughter and said, you can ask me anything up to the half of this kingdom. As soon as he said it, because he's a king, it's no more a suggestion. It becomes a law. It becomes something that has to be enforced. They have to make a policy around it. You know, I know that in our government, sometimes our politicians say things and sometimes they get it wrong, even high politicians. And then they go and check the policy, they find out that what he says is wrong, and then they throw it out. In a kingdom, it's not like that. Whatever the king says is law. And can I tell you, God is not our president. God is not our prime minister. God is our king. Because when he says it, that's it. Whatever he says is law. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it was almost as if God was just having a chat. Let there be light. It was not a suggestion. Light had to come. Let there be firmament. Everything had to happen because God is a king. And king rule by decree. King, they decree. They pronounce something. And when they pronounce it, it happens like that. And that's why I want to speak on behalf of that king over your life and over the month of May. This will be your best month in the name of Jesus. That's not a suggestion. That's a decree. This will be your best month in the name of Jesus. So, a kingdom has a kingdom. And a kingdom has domains. So, God is the king of all the earth. Now, God wanted to share power. And if you understand the concept of kings, anybody that a king wants to share power with is not elected. The person has to be given birth to. The person has to be a relation of the king. So, in a monarchy system, people get to be king because they were born into the kingdom, or they were born into the hierarchy or into the lineage of the king. That's how they get to be king. Just like in England, right? That's why some people have been waiting and saying, "Mother, how far? Are we going to be king?" Because that woman is not, Prince Charles, she forget about it. Maybe his children. Because she's alive. And as long as she's there, there can only be one king in one kingdom. The only thing that can happen, and that's why what explains what happened to African countries. The only thing that can happen is that the king can look for another domain. And that domain, capture that domain and give it to his child. And say, "You, my daughter, my son, be the king over this domain." But two of us cannot be kings in the same domain. So that's why, several years ago, in many African countries, you will find that Britain came there and Britain established what they called a colony. They established something they call a small domain of the main domain of the queen or the king of England, whoever was in charge at that time. So Britain went, and they colonized many, 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 many places. They went to a lot of places, colonized many places. And that's why many places today, they speak English. That's why even many places, they speak French. Those people were not French-speaking people. Those people were not English-speaking people. It was the kings from these other countries that came to those places and created another domain so that they can give that domain to some of their people. And they will be in charge of that place. So that's what was happening in Genesis chapter 1. God was creating another domain. Because God was the king of heaven. Remember that in the account of Genesis chapter 1, we never saw that God was creating angels, God was creating the devil, and all of that. The guy that became the devil. Because before that, when God was creating the earth, God had created some other people, some other beings. So God was not lonely. God had company. But God wanted to have people like him. Remember what he said in the scripture we read, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. He says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness." So what God was saying is, let us make another king. When God made man, God made him a king. Look at yourself, say, "I'm a king." That's what God did. So what God did in Genesis chapter 1 was that God made man a king. God created a king. And that man was supposed to be in charge. That's why when we are not in charge, we feel funny. Because it's anti-us. We are meant to be in control. We are meant to be in charge. We are meant to be in leadership. There is a natural cry from the human spirit that wants to be in charge, that wants to take control, that doesn't want to be under, because that's how God made us. We are kings. Can you tell yourself again, say, "I'm a king"? I'm a king. So that's what happened in Genesis chapter 1. But between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3, things went south. The devil came and lied to man. The devil came and deceived Adam. And Adam committed what you call treason. Because now Adam wanted to do what was against the king. Because though God had created the earth for the domain as for man, God was still the king of heaven and earth. But pretty much his domain was more in the heavens. He now gave man the earth. So man was the king. So anytime God really needed to do anything on earth, he needed to somewhatly do it through man. So God gave man the dominion of earth. And maybe that explains why some of the tragedies happen in our world. You know, sometimes when people see hurricanes, when people see bad things, they will say, where is God? But you know, that's the wrong question. Because God is the king of heaven primarily. Right now, we are the kings of the earth. Many of the times when issues are wrong on earth, you should go and ask the king on earth, not the king in heaven. So some of the times when things are bad, when they are shooting people, say, where is man? Or where am I? Don't point blaming fingers up there. Point it down here. The guy who is to blame is you. Because Jesus showed us. He said, tell God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know that you won't be telling God to do what he has already done if he has already done it? That means the will of God is not fully done on earth. The will of God is 100% done in heaven. You know the other guy that wanted to not do the will of God, they cast him out of there. So all the people there, they are 100% compliant. You understand what I'm saying? So it is here that people are not compliant. It is here that things are not 100% compliant with heaven. So when we see things not going right here, it is not God. Of course, it's not that God is not, he doesn't know what is happening. God can still influence what happens here. But primarily, it is man. Man is in charge. Man is in control. And I'm praying that this month, you will have that control back in the name of Jesus. Everything that has taken control out of your hands, I declare they will release it in the name of Jesus. So this month, what we're going to be talking about is your kingdom come. Because your kingdom come suggests that that kingdom may be missing. And we are trying to reintroduce it or reemphasize it. The word redemption suggests that we are repairing something. Every time you see in scripture, in English language, when you see reintroduce, it means it has been introduced before, you are bringing it back again. If you say reinvent, it means it has been invented before, you are trying to invent it again. If you say redemption, it means there was something that was okay before, you are trying to buy back. You are trying to bring back to the original state. So when we talk about the kingdom, you and I need to understand that we are trying to bring back that same kingdom that God established in the Garden of Eden through Adam. That's what we are trying to bring out here. And you know that in the Garden of Eden, everything was available. You know that in the Garden of Eden, there was nothing out of place. Everything was in their place because that was the intention of God. So this month, what we're trying to do is that we are trying to reintroduce the kingdom, and then we will now gain more territories, understanding upon the subject of the kingdom. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will start finding the understanding and the knowledge that you gain this month. You'll find them in expression in your life in the name of Jesus. Now, let me quickly talk about what the purpose of the kingdom is. What is the purpose of the kingdom? What is the intention of God? What does God have in mind that he created a kingdom? Number one, to extend the rulership of heaven to earth. God wants to extend the rulership of heaven to earth. Let me shock you this morning. Do you know that men were not created for heaven? I know some people feel like, hey, Pastor, yeah. Don't you know the the seven pillars of Redeemed Christian Church of God. Number one, to make heaven. I know. But do you know that heaven is not going to be our final home? Did you know that? We are still coming back here. Go and read the back of the book, Revelations. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We are coming back here. We are still. The earth was made for men. Men are created for the earth. That's God wants the earth. He's still going to get this thing back. Because the reason why God is going to mess it up, going to destroy it, because it's messed up. You know, sometimes you hear things, people say something like natural disaster, right? And they will now, some people will take it a little further, say acts of God. That's not the act of God. You know, it's the twistedness, it's the sin that has entered the earth through man that is now putting pressure on the earth. You remember when in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said God cursed the woman and also cursed the earth. So he's responding to curse. So God intentionally and originally and ultimately wants to extend the rulership of heaven on earth. God wants heaven to kiss earth. God wants heaven to superimpose itself on earth. God wants the influence of heaven to be on earth. God wants it that at your work, the influence of heaven is there. You know, some people, they are so excited about going to heaven, but you know, really, God wants you to bring heaven on earth. And I declare that this month, you have heaven on earth. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen. In the name of Jesus. So, God wants to extend the rulership of heaven to earth. Another reason or another purpose of the kingdom of God is that God wanted to colonize the earth with heaven. God wanted to colonize the earth with heaven. Just like Britain and some of these countries did. They colonized many countries. They brought so much of their influence on those countries that those countries have even forgotten some of their own identity. You know, you go to nations like Nigeria and Ghana, and they'll say something like, "Be dress official, dress corporate." And what they mean by dress corporate is dress the way I'm dressed. But it didn't come from that culture. How would that now be corporate? What happened? Colonization. A kingdom came, brought their influence, and so influenced that culture that culture now cannot even look like its original again. It has been affected. It has been tainted. Maybe positively. But God wants the earth to be tainted by heaven. He wants your earth to be affected so much by heaven that you will be living the heavenly life here on earth. And I declare that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. In heaven, there's no sickness. This month in your life, there will be no sickness. In heaven, there's no lack. This month in your night, there will be supply. In the name of Jesus. So what is the purpose of the kingdom? To extend the rulership of heaven on earth. God wanted to colonize the earth with heaven. And then God wants his will to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. God wants his will to be done here. God wants the constitution of heaven to become the constitution of your life, of my life. He wants his will to be done here. He wants his will to be done here. His will is not perfect on earth, but when we introduce the kingdom of God to the earth, his will be done. And remember that when Jesus was here, what he was preaching about was the kingdom of God. You know, even John kind of got a glimpse of that. The Bible said, John will say something like this: "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." But when Jesus came, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is here in your midst." Because Jesus himself embodies that kingdom. He brought the kingdom here. And God is telling us again this month that that's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for our lives to look like. Let me tie this together, and then we'll have some dancing, because this is a Thanksgiving month, Thanksgiving Sunday, and then we'll take it up from here next week. I want you to note some of these principles down about the kingdom of God. God's purpose is to establish a family of sons, not servants. God wants to establish a family of sons, not servants, because servants don't inherit kingdoms. Sons inherit kingdoms. Servants can never become kings in a kingdom. Only sons are entitled to kingship. You can serve very diligently in a kingdom, but you will never become a king in that kingdom, except you were born into the line. And that's why the first thing, when Nicodemus went to meet Jesus in John chapter 3, Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot what? Enter into what? The kingdom of God. So, except you are born into, you are only born into this kingdom. Except you are born into this kingdom, you cannot enter. You cannot enjoy the privileges. So the privileges are for sons. The privileges are for people that have relationship. And that's why you can't be casual about your walk with God. You can't be casual about your relationship with God, because your relationship allows you to access the full benefits of the kingdom of God. Let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 10. Excuse me. Mark 10, verse 43. Mark 10, verse 43. God's purpose is to establish the family of sons and not servants. This is what Jesus said. Jesus says, not so with you. Instead, this is not the one that I wonder. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. I mean, Jesus was trying to explain the principle of the kingdom here and talking about servant leadership, but he wasn't saying that we are servant, because in John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, as many as have received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. Now, our sonship does not preclude us from service, because that's what this scripture, the first scripture was trying to say. Our sonship does not preclude us from service, but our sonship is the background for our service. So we are not servants that are serving God. We are children that serve God. I know that many religions, especially Islam, they call themselves servants. You know, that they are, not even servants. They call themselves slaves. That they are the slaves of God. If you are the slave of God, there's a limit to what you can get from God. But if you are the sons of God, you have everything from God. Because you see, a slave can be given a portion, but a son is an heir to the kingdom. Now, being an heir and having a portion is different. An heir means that if I need everything in the kingdom, they will give it to me because I need it. If I just need a little, they will give it to me because I need it. I get what I need. Based on my need is what I get. That's why God said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that what you can enjoy in God is not based on what you need, what is just for you. It is based on the full, vast resources that God has. It is not based on, okay, you know, Adeolu, I'm going to give you, I have 100 children. And if I give you one thing, I have to keep 99 portions for the other children. No, that's not how God works. If you need something that needs the 100% of what I have, I will make sure that 100% resources is available at your disposal so that you will do what you want to do. That's how sonship works. A son is entitled, can enjoy the fullness of what his father has. In my home, if a child needs something, I'm not thinking just that, oh, I'm going to give you so much that I will have enough to give the other people. Of course, I think of the other children too. But that's not how I think. I think of fixing the issue. If you need a pant, and I have enough money to buy you pants for one child, I will buy that child a pant. I won't say because I don't have enough money to buy three pants because I have three kids. I won't buy that one child. No, I will buy because I know you need it that time. Because you are my heir. You are not just sharing some part of my inheritance. You have access to everything that I have. And that's what God does for his sons. So if you have a relationship with God as a son, you are an heir and you have access to everything that God wants. Therefore, God has this injunction for you, and that's how I'm going to send you away this week. God said, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Let's read that and then I'll put this together. Genesis 1, 28. Say, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Rule. Dominate. Ladies and gentlemen, the mandate is a dominion mandate. The mandate that God has given you, this mandate of the kingdom is a dominion mandate, a mandate to subdue, a mandate to rule. I was listening to somebody speaking on reading out a book, and a Japanese guy saw an African. Was it Japanese or somebody from Asia, Japanese or Chinese, somebody saw an African and said, why is it that you people are one of the most educated people around here? Say, that's true. And you know that's a fact, right? Africans, in America now, Africans are the most educated. I was reading a statistics yesterday, and they said in Illinois, African immigrants are the most educated people. But many of them are living way below their level of education. So the Japanese guy or the Chinese guy was now asking this African guy, he said, why is that so? Why is it that you guys... So the African guy was now thinking, and he was thinking, the Japanese guy said, I think I know why. When you people come into these places, you think of getting a job. When we come to these places, we think of owning a business. Dominion. They think like dominion. We must own a business. We must own something. Because if you are dominion minded, if you understand the mandate that God gives you, you should know that you are supposed to be in charge. You should know that when you get to a work, you should be thinking of how do they work this thing? I can work this too myself. I can own this business. You don't think small. There are some people in this room, their own is just, let me just make enough, you know, send money home. It's amazing. People that have two degrees, and are working like people that don't have any degree. People that have gone to school. I mean, I was reading the statistic. They said almost 99% of African immigrants at least have an high school diploma. When I read that, I almost hissed, say high school diploma. Some of them have 2 degrees. Some of them have 3 degrees, and their degree is even almost higher than the thermometer. Amen. But why is it that they settle for less? Why is it that they settle for small thing? They are not conscious of the dominion mandate. There is something about this dominion mandate. Look at what the word of God says. It says, rule, be in charge, rule over the fish, rule over the earth, rule over everywhere that you find yourself. Let me say a few things about this dominion mandate that can help you. One of the things I think we should start doing is this. Find something that's you or that's in you that you are supposed to use it to serve your world. Start to look inward. Because when God created us, he said something to us. And that thing entered into us. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue the earth, conquer the earth, take control. So that means there is something inside me that I am supposed to use to serve this world that will subdue my world. I need to find that thing. I think it was Pastor that was playing. Explain my life to me. You are not in this country just to, you know, make every day work. No. There is something in you. There is something God has put inside of you, irrespective of everything that has happened. And I'm not oblivious of the things that are happening. I've been to some of these places that some of us have been to too. I've been confused too. I've been wondering, where would the next meal come from too? I have been wondering, what will happen to my status in America? Will I be sent to? I have been in front of an immigration officer. I did it. In fact, they had told me, don't travel. I just said, you know what? When I'm here, there's no, I'm going to travel. And I went. When I came to the immigration, the guy told me, he said, you know you shouldn't have traveled. I said, yes. And long story short, he allowed me to come inside. I have been into funny places too before. I've been in funny. So I understand. But I am still saying, in spite of everywhere we might have been to or we are right now, there's a dominion mandate. There's a mandate to rule. Will you say, I will rule? I will dominate. In the name of Jesus. Now, because there's a mandate to rule, because there is something God has put inside you to rule, does not mean that you will rule. Before I came up this morning, I was looking at this scripture. Let me read it to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 7. Are you there? He said, I have seen slaves on horsebacks. Why princes go on foot? What does that mean? I have seen sons living like slaves. I have seen slaves living like sons. And do you know why? Many of the time, the sons have not sharpened their skills. They have not sharpened their cutting edge. They have not worked on it. It's still raw. It's in the raw form. You know, I've said this many, if you've been here for a little bit, that I believe one of the problems of Africa is not lack of resources. It's because Africa does not process its resources. Right? Very many natural resources. But they will send it somewhere else. They'll process it there. They'll send it back. You know, in Africa, they get what they use to make chocolate, right? Right? With cocoa, right? Do you know they don't have the biggest chocolate factories in Africa? If you pass some places in Chicago, you'll be smelling the chocolate. They are getting the raw material from somewhere. They will process it, do everything. They'll send some of those things back to you. In fact, some people will tell you, I don't like any chocolate. I just like Toblerone or something like that. You know, you go to, you are traveling back home or traveling to Africa. They want you to bring chocolate. That's supposed to be in their backyard. Why? Because they are not processing it. Look at this scripture also. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Is it coming up? If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. That means that if you find that area that God wants you to serve your word, you need to train that area. You need to walk the area. You need to sharpen your skill. You need to be the best at it. You need to learn more about it. I remember some years ago, I was trying to read a book about public speaking, and that time I had started speaking for a little bit. And somebody was saying, you don't need to learn about public speaking. I looked at the person and said, you don't even understand. The best places you need to learn are the places you are good at. And that's the places people don't learn anything about. Somebody is good in singing, he thinks it's his weakness he should focus on. He's not focusing on his strength. That is why kings are walking barefooted and slaves are riding on horses. Because slaves, they thought they didn't know anything. So they have the ignorant person mindset, so they learn everything. The sons think they know everything, so they learn nothing. And the thing that they know, they are not maximizing it. Have you not seen that we that are calling this Jesus and God, we are not sometimes not the richest. We are not sometimes the boss. Because somehow we have not focused on our strength. It is our weakness, that one that we don't know how to do. That's the one we want to learn. There's nothing wrong in trying to work on your weaknesses. But there is something God has already put there. You don't have to do anything about it. Speaking is not my weakness. Some of you may have figured that out, right? It's somewhat something that God has put. But we are learning and training this. Every day, every now and then. One of the things that I look for in many places and many people, I listen to a lot of people, is how they deliver, how they preach, how they talk.
One of the things I like listening to, TED Talks, I want to see how they are delivering. It may look like I'm naturally a talkative or a talking person. No, talkative is a bad one, right? A talking person. But I'm still learning there. Because the best thing you can do for a good thing is to make it better. The axe, if the axe is dull, if it is not sharp, some of us, our axe is dull. It's not sharp. We are not at the cutting edge. We have not learned more. We have not sharpened our skill. You know how to sing. You can sharpen it. You know how to play an instrument. You can sharpen it so that you will be on the cutting edge. Because the time that you are going to stand before your Pharaoh, you can't be trained. Please give me 1 second. I need to sharpen my axe. No. You have to deliver. The day they will bring you before Pharaoh, or the day you will stand before your Goliath, you as David, you must have perfected the heart of throwing stones and sling so much that the first one you use, you will bring him down. The first one you use will bring it down. Many of us, we may have more time on our hands now than we think we should need. Use it for your preparations. I have always said this. The way people use YouTube and Facebook, many people just use it for the wrong reasons. You can turn those tools to your sharpening skills. There are a lot of stuff on YouTube. Music, all kinds of things. Tutorials. I was going to take my kids to go and play soccer, and I grew up in Africa, and we used to play street soccer. I really played a lot of street soccer, so I know how to play soccer. But you know, the first thing I did, I went on YouTube. I went to look at how do you train a young kid to play soccer, because we were not trained. We were just on the street and we were playing ball, and before you knew it, you would be bouncing the balls and doing all kinds of skills. You watch and you just learn by doing. You know, like somebody, I've heard people preach the kind of prayer. They say some people ask, how do you pray? And they say, you learn prayer by praying. You know, that statement is not very scriptural. It's not scriptural, because people came to ask Jesus, teach us to pray, and he didn't tell them that you learn prayer by praying. He taught them how to pray, right? So you can learn things, and you don't have to stumble on them. I went on YouTube. I want to see some things that we can do with kids. Although I can play soccer in a small way, a little bit, you know. So I'm challenging you this morning. You are a king. You are a king. Don't live like slaves. Don't live like slaves. Go and sharpen your skill. And lastly, this morning, I'm going to say this. Find an area and dominate it. Find an area and dominate it. Find an area and be the best there. You can be a doctor and be the best. Several years ago, when I read Gifted Hands, that's what Ben Carson was telling. He said, look, I want to be able to do surgeries that can be complicated. You can desire to be at the top, because you see, everything favors the person that is at the top. Everything. So if you find your own kingdom or the domain, the area of influence that God wants you to be, make sure your life goal and what you want to do and what you are aspiring to do is to dominate it. Don't just be one of the number. Don't just be there. No, be a principality, a force there. Be somebody that they can reckon with. Be somebody there. Don't be known for too many things. Be the king of something, because you have a mandate, and that mandate is to dominate. Can somebody shout dominate?